So, to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of. And because he's talking to Adam now. And if you notice, any place in the Bible where it talks about the sin of Adam, Adam tried to put it off on God, and he tried to put it off on his wife. But it comes back to the sin of Adam. It's always the sin of Adam, because God talked to Adam and said, hey, don't be messing around with that tree. Okay? But Adam basically chose his wife over God. That's what happened. He made a mistake. So anyway, there's some important stuff in here that we would be wise not to neglect. He says, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It says it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, and for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Well, the key thing here is 19. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. Okay? And if you go back up, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it. So he's talking about work here. If you're not working, you're going to have problems. And God is saying this right here. He's saying, you're going to have to work. I say, how do I know this? I know this because I told you a couple weeks ago, I moved 23 times in 20 years, and I've been in situations where people that are able to work are not working, they're getting in trouble. They're having problems. Because I believe right here, God is saying, you need to work. You need to work. If you stop and think about it, I lived in up in the L.A. area there. Used to be a big Navy base up there. And there were people that were just drinking and doing drugs, and the highlight of their day is when they could turn one of those newspaper vending machines over and shake the quarters out of it and go down and buy a bottle of Ripple or something. But they weren't working. There was no intention for them to work, and they were just getting in trouble, having problems with the police. Kind of a timeless truth here that's easily missed. We need to work. God says it. Because if we don't, we're just going to get ourselves in trouble. Next. Okay, flood, judgment for sin. Chapter 6 through 10. So let's go over to 6. We're going to skip a little bit of this, quite a bit of it as a matter of fact, because we're just not going to have time. We're going to pick it up right at chapter 6, verse 5. It says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his hearts was only evil all the time. Okay? That's a key verse. I got that one underlined because he's getting ready to do a judgment here. He's going to flood the earth. He's going to cause earthquakes. A huge, just catastrophic event is about to happen. But this is what leads up to it. Let's read it again. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. So as bad as we think it is now, we're still here, and we're still talking about God. It's going to get, before he does it, if, you know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as long as we're here glorifying God, I think we're saved. Based on what he's saying here, is just totally bad beyond comprehension. So, verse 6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals, creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. And in verse 8 it says, But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Other Bibles will say, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So it's like, even Noah wasn't like the perfect guy. You know, it's only through the grace of God. It says, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people of the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, coat it with pitch inside and out. That's just like a tar. And this is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Perfect dimensions for a barge to do what it was going to do. They plug this into the computers for naval architects. It's perfect. They couldn't design it. They couldn't make any improvements on it. It's exactly what it needs to be to do the job that God had for it to do. It says, make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door on the side of the ark and make a lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring the floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground, here's the words, will come to you to be kept alive. So Noah didn't have to go out and round up all these animals. The animals came to him. Oh, is that a miracle? Well, think about it. Whenever you hear about these tsunamis that hit, they always talk about, oh yeah, about an hour before the thing came, all the animals just booked for high ground. That's God. I mean, that's God intervening into his creation. I mean, he's doing it today. So why wouldn't he do it with Noah? People always say, well, how'd they get all those animals? How'd they know? Well, the animals knew it was going to rain for the first time. They're thinking, whoa, it hasn't rained in 2,000 years. Something's coming up here. I need to go over here with this Noah guy. Okay? Can you imagine Noah? He's out here building an ark in the middle of nowhere. Think about it. Okay? Dale, I want you to build an ark out there by your house. You know? Never mind, it's going to take you about 120 years to do it. Yeah. So anyway. And it says, 21, it says, you're to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and them. 22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. This ark was unbelievable. There was more than enough room to put two of every kind of species on that ark. They had more than enough room. What you need to do if this sort of thing interests you, I mean, they talked about things. I read a book. I mean, they talk about stuff like, okay, what happened when the animals had to go to the bathroom? You know, that sort of stuff. You know, you don't normally have, they got all the animals on there. But they're on there for a long time. I mean, it rained for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, I'm going to give you a little hint. Okay, this is a homework question in there, so I'm going to just tell you one thing right off the bat. There, in order for enough rain to flood the earth to the extent it was flooded, it couldn't come from the sky because the cloud cover would have to be so thick that the sun wouldn't be able to penetrate. It's kind of like standing on the bottom of the ocean looking up and trying to see the sun. You just can't do it because there's too much water. So in order for this much water to flood the earth, it couldn't come, all of it, from the sky. It just couldn't come. But you're going to read chapters 6 through 11, and you're going to figure that out. And you're also going to figure out how long was Noah actually on that ark, because it's kind of interesting. But you can't ask a fifth or sixth grader, okay? You have to figure it out for yourself, because we've already been through this with them. So the next piece we're going to come to, the tower, the beginning of nations. And it's in Genesis chapter 11. What I want to do, though, is kind of leading up to that, is we need to talk about this one guy. So we're going to actually start in Genesis chapter 10. And Genesis chapter 10 is really kind of given the account of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Those are Noah's sons. So we're not going to read through there. It's kind of a genealogy thing where it's very repetitious. But we're going to skip right up to verse 8. And it says, Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Erech, I'm butchering these names, Akkad, Calneh, and Shinar. From that land, he went to Assyria. Did we talk about Assyria in some of our geography? So you know where it's at. It's kind of up north. You got the Tigris and Euphrates going up like this. Assyria is right up there. Okay? So he says where he built Nineveh. You guys remember Nineveh? What do we know about Nineveh? That's where Jonah. Remember, God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Well, he tried. He says, I want you to go over here. He's in Jerusalem. I want you to go over here to Nineveh. And Jonah got on a boat. He was heading to Spain. He's not going because these are bad guys. Okay, well, this guy, Nimrod, Nineveh is his legacy. He was a bad man. Because when you read this, it sounds like maybe he was somebody to be revered. It says in verse 9, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. In the Septuagint. Remember we talked about Septuagint? It was the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures 250 years prior to the New Testament. Well, in that translation, so you got these Hebrew scholars that are a lot closer to the original manuscripts than we are. They translate it that he was a mighty hunter against the Lord. Okay? So Nimrod was a bad guy. His wife was a bad person. You can trace a lot of, basically all non-Judeo-Christian religions trace themselves back to Nimrod and his wife. So, in verse 10, the first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, and that's, you want to underline that because we're going to go read about the Tower of Babel. So where was the Tower of Babel? Is in Babylon, okay? So we got this guy Nimrod, bad man, bad man. He's ultimately the guy that got the country of Assyria, and specifically Nineveh, where Jonah didn't want to go there because they were skinning Jews and nailing them to the walls of the city. Amazing city in Nineveh. They had over... trying to remember, it was either 12 or 1,500 towers interspersed along the wall, which was 200 feet high. Unbelievable fortress. Unbelievable. They couldn't be beat. They couldn't be beat. And Jonah went there. He basically you know, told them about God. They received God. 150 years later, they were right back to their old stuff again in Nahum, and he ends up judging them for it. So let's go ahead and jump up to chapter 11. It says, now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. Yet they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. This is a kind of interesting verse here because you guys have all heard of the Rockefellers, and the original Rockefellers made all their money in oil, and they made their money in oil. They were the first ones into Iraq, because he was reading this verse here, and he says they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. There was, and anybody who knows anything about oil realizes that you got literally oil bubbling out of the ground, and that's where they got the tar to build these bricks. And he's thinking, I'm going there and make a lot of money. Okay? So, kind of interesting book, the Bible, the different things that you'll find in there. He says in verse 4, and then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth, or the whole earth. So they're in direct defiance to what God had told them. He told them, you know, go forth and go out of all the corners of the earth and multiply. And they're saying, we're not doing that. We're going to build us a tower into the heavens so we can hang here, and we're not going to do what God has told us to do. Keep in mind that at this point in time, they're only about a couple of generations removed from people that actually knew Adam personally. You know what I'm saying? Because of the length of everybody's life, I think it was Noah didn't know Adam, but Noah's dad knew Adam. Or he could have known him and talked to him at a family reunion or something. So we're not that far removed, actually, from the guy that had, who was right there with God, you know, and kind of made God mad. So it says here in verse 4, it says, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the men were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Can you imagine being on a big construction project and you're there just, you know, talking trash to the guy next to you, and next thing you know, he's like going, yeah, 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 you know? Unbelievable. What's really cool, though, is on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus, you have the exact same thing happen in reverse. Okay? There you got people from all over the world, all speaking different languages, and on that day, every man heard every other man speaking in his own language. So, you know, it's kind of interesting how God will work. So, we've covered actually the four major events of the creation era. We got the first event, obviously, is creation, and man is made in the image of God. Very important thing. Even the guys that you don't like are made in the image of God. The fall, that's where Eve got tricked, and Adam made a bad decision. Sin entered the world. We have flood, where God judges. Remember that the thoughts of these guys are only of evil all the time. So, in the tower, we got the beginning of nations. Actually, the beginning of language. I I looked this up on the internet trying to see if I could find out where the beginning of language is. And if you go to the, you know, kind of like the evolution-based sites, they're going to go back to, you know, billions of years or whatever. They're going to go back a long ways. But if you go to sites that are dedicated to linguistics, the guys that actually study language, they all go back right into this time frame, you know, plus or minus, you know, about 1,000 years. It goes back to the biblical record. And a lot of them actually will talk about it. And they're guys that are just, they're not religious sites or whatever. It's kind of an interesting thing that the longer we get into this stuff and you really start to study it, you start seeing that the Bible is true. Imagine that. It's pretty cool. So, I think that's it. Any questions anybody has? Steve.
Dinosaur.
Yeah. They probably went in as babies. Dinosaurs are actually in the book of Job. That's where you'll find, if you want to get references to dinosaur-like animals, they're talking about animals that have tails on them the size of oak trees. So, and then Leviathan, a big sea monster stuff. Job. Yeah. Any other ones? I want to read you this verse before we get on to the quiz and all that stuff. Because I know as we get into this, you know, just, I don't know, you know, just the stuff about life, you know. Stuff is going on all the time. And as we move into this thing and we start studying this, there's going to be spiritual attacks. Right? You know, it says the battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms. And so just the situations of life are going to come up, I know, that's going to cause people to be discouraged and think, oh, I can't go there because I don't have my homework done or whatever. So I just want to read you this. This is in the book of Hebrews. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened... Yeah, just a second. Oh, let's try again. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So I just want to encourage you to just kind of think about that, because, you know, the thoughts are going to come. And Jane calls it stinking thinking. It's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. And so that's Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. Yeah. It's kind of like classic Christianity, but, you know, we forget about that stuff a lot. And so I just want to encourage you to, you know, keep on keeping on and doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, okay? So what I'm going to do is we'll pray, and if you don't want to hang out for the last 15 minutes, make sure you pick up your homework up here and do your homework, and there's going to be a picnic next Sunday. And so we're kind of up in the air about, should we do this next Sunday? Because there's going to be a picnic right over here at Lindo Lake Park. There's going to be, you're going to be sitting out in the sun. And, huh? Bring your own food, too. Huh? Okay, so then we'll go ahead and do it. You talked me into it. We'll do it next Sunday then. So just plan on next Sunday. Do your homework. You know what? I encourage you to get together and do it with friends. Also, you know, it's okay to invite people to come to church. It's totally okay. You know, I want to encourage you to do that. Because, you know, there's a whole lot of people out there that don't have any hope. You know, so I just want to encourage you. It's a great place. You couldn't do anything nicer for someone to invite them to come and they could come to know Jesus and have eternal life. So I'm going to pray and we'll take a little break and then we'll get on with our leadership stuff. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for your word and just for all the stuff that you have in here for us. And Lord, I just pray as we go about the week that we would read your word and just get to know you better and do what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.